You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on all of your favorite podcast platforms, especially Overcast. We are a proud member of the Fans First Sports Network. Thank you all for listening to us here. We are here to talk about the collapse of the Baltimore Ravens in the AFC title game. Boy, that one sucked. That really sucked, didn't it, guys? Well, joining me as always to talk all about it, a relatively calm Josh. What's going on, man? How you doing? I was expecting a completely different response than what I'm getting right now.
What do you mean?
you seem somewhat joyful. You seem relaxed, calm. I thought I was going to hear, like, I don't want to talk. I'm not doing it. Like, because last year, you wouldn't do a show after they were out against Cincinnati. You didn't want to do a show. But you're here. You seem calm. I don't know. This is a different Josh. This is a more mature Josh. I don't know. What's going on?
What's going on? It happens when you get a new girlfriend and the Orioles get sold to a billionaire. I'm pretty pissed off, and we're gonna let it rip because, as David said, I'm expecting 20 million table pounds in this game, dude. I'm calm because I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, dude. I've had a lot of time to sit here and digest this. I still don't know what to do. Don't know how to react. I don't know where to go from here. I don't have the answers, and we're going to talk about it, unpack it, and thinking we do. Yeah. I'm just pretty disappointed, dude.
Yeah. I'm disappointing. I'll say this too. And this might come off a little odd. I feel almost embarrassed by this team, and we're going to get into it, but let's start off with the good stuff. Let's start off with what happened.
Breaking news. We're going to start with some breaking news right now.
Uh-oh, what happened?
We just lost Mike McDonald.
No, it's official?
It is official. Seahawks are hiring them as their new head coach.
Oh, that's icing on the cake right there.
Breaking news just came across my feed, my friend. We knew that was coming.
Yeah, we knew it was coming, but...
Yep. What is going on? Bro, we're going to have... Yeah, I'm calm, but I'm relatively not... Look, it might be, when you said, like, what's going on, have, you know, you matured... Look, I'm pretty mad, and we're going to unpack it, man, and we're going to have some hefty conversations and some heavy conversations about what we think might went on, some theories out there. We're going to get in nitty-gritty between me and you here. We're going to unpack it all. But listen, I'm beyond letting a millionaire's game affect my mood. Yeah, I'm pretty upset, pretty disappointed, especially since we're all close. But, you know, now, if you would have recorded this on Monday, you would have gotten more irritated me because I'm just like, we were so close yet so far. I was there expecting to see what we thought we were going to see, and it didn't go as planned. So, but and as you probably saw, I went basically radio silent on social media.
Right.
Only because I didn't want to react emotionally. I didn't want to say things I regretted. I didn't want to act out of anger. I said, let me digest. Let me see the pulse of the collective. Let me see what the post-game comments. Let me see what the coaches say. Let me see what the players say. And let me just digest everything. Take notes for the show. And we have a forum, which is the Call Podcast on the Fans First Sports Network. And we're going to have a conversation. Brandon, me and you are going to pull up. And we're going to have an honest conversation about these Baltimore stinking Ravens and what might have happened. Here it is, already frustration. I'm pounding the table already, and we're not even in it yet. But
and a lot of people, I will say this, a lot of people have asked us, like, why don't you do a show on Sundays? Why aren't you doing the instant reaction after a game? You know, you guys should be going live on Facebook and on Discord every single post-game, pre-game. People have asked us to do that. That's no joke. People have said, do it. I don't like instant reactions. I'm going to be honest. I like listening to them. Like the Vault podcast does it. And I listen to that every single time that they go live and they do the post game and the instant reaction. And I think what they do is awesome. I personally don't like it because I feel like you said, you're going to say something wrong. You're going to say something without thinking. And you're just going to, make like hypotheticals in your head. And that's why I don't like it. So we've had a couple days to digest what happened on Sunday. I still feel upset about what happened on Sunday, even though it's Wednesday. And now I feel even worse now that Mike McDonald's gone. But let's go back.
I'm putting on the socials right now as we speak. So I'm listening. Just bear with me. I'm putting that out there.
But let's go back to the good times before the game. Let's talk a little bit about that. Tell me a little bit about what it was like to be at the Jimmy's Famous Tailgate with DJ Diesel and with all of the special guests and that kind of stuff. Tell me what it was like to have that AFC title game tailgate pregame before, you know, the heartbreak happened.
Hey, the comments are out there. At least we won the tailgating of the day. You probably saw the pictures, bro. The atmosphere and the energy was off the charts. What John has built with this tailgate and Jimmy's staff, can't thank them enough for their efforts week in and week out during the season, man. There's a lot of work that goes into that. What John is able to accomplish in building this from, you know, putting subs in a cooler and having 20-something folks huddled around in a little spot to a spectacle. And that's what I said on Sunday. I was like, this spawned from what, 26 people in subs in a cooler. Now we're seeing Ravens legends, NBA and NFL Hall of Famers on the same stage. Nearly 2,000 people packed in, ready to go. And it was a pregame party for the ages. No words can describe that. There were some surprises along the way. We already knew we were getting an appearance from Ray Lewis, We knew DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaq, was the headliner. DJ along with an appearance by Hall of Famer Ed Reed. We knew there was an appearance from OJ Brigance, but the surprises kept coming. By the way, OJ Brigance, emotional. When Sandra got up there and spoke before, and then we know with OJ and the way he just impacts with his just being around the energy, man, with OJ present, how can you not be inspired?
Right.
I mean, you're a part. I think you do some of the don't you do the Brigance, like the walks and the runs and stuff like that? Don't you?
Yeah, I did the 5.7K.
So I know you're a part of that, right? And
right.
To be like, I've met OJ a couple times, but just to kick off the festivities with that, it was emotional, and I just knew it was going to be a good day. I had in my heart of hearts it was going to be a good day. You had surprises. Keaton Mitchell came out. He came out on the crutches. Obviously, he was still under the scope of the injury, but for him coming out inspiring the fans, excuse me, you had Ray Rice come out with Ray Lewis. You had Ray introduce him when they were talking about the 2012 run and the 4th and 29 play. You had both Rays up on the stage at the same time. You had James Hedebo and Jacoby Jones, Super Bowl 47 winners there. You had Super Bowl 47 winners all over the place, Hall of Famers. Ed Reed came out. Even former Oriole Adam Jones came out.
Oh, very cool.
Like, it was it was a party for the ages, and to be amongst that and to Ray lead emceeing the event, leading the speech, dude, fantastic. And I just blown away with what Jimmy's and dude, it was great. We were talking about our tailgating options and what we wanted to do. Last minute, spur of the moment, we're like, screw it, let's do it. It's the biggest game. Let's do the biggest tailgate. Let's do it. We got all the legends there, and let's do it the right way. The food was off the charts, phenomenal. Had a good feel of that. The energy was great. And it spilled right into the stadium. And before we break down the game, the tailgate in itself, second to none. And I don't know if you've ever been to these things.
I've never been to a tailgate.
Whoa. Next, the assignment for 2024, we're going to do this. I'm going to make a deal with you.
Okay.
I'll eat a order of wings with ranch if we get you to a tailgate next year and a game.
Hey, I'd love to. I love it. The party, it always looks like a party from the pictures I've seen.
All right. Well, we might have to get you there. We'll pick when the schedule comes out. We'll talk about in the offseason, Brandon, me and you, the call. We'll pick out a game, and me and you are going to get tailgate tickets, and we're going to do it the right way. The only way do it. Jimmy's.
Only if Dave flies over from England as well. He has to be there.
Dave coming. He's going to be here in August. He's got his Orioles tickets. Yeah? He's ready. Tailgate, phenomenal. Pre-game party, phenomenal. The energy downtown was phenomenal. What did you end up doing?
M'lady and a couple friends and I went to the Hard Yacht Cafe, which is where we went last week, and we've been a couple other times this season. It was, it's always good, great food. Really good drinks. They do free frozen rum runner shots whenever there was a touchdown. Unfortunately, we only got one this week. But I got to tell you something, dude. This is going to sound a little crazy. I did not enjoy going out and watching this AFC title game, not because of the loss, but because I feel as if the fans that were out and they were partying or whatever were watching football for the first time. This seemed like the bandwagon was full and people were actually like going out and doing things because of the Ravens. The people I was around, the tables around had no, like they were complaining about every single little thing. And I was like, no, yes, the referees were terrible in this game, but like every single call wasn't wrong. And they were complaining and they're like, how is this? How's that? And I'm like, well, that's Zay, he dropped the ball at the 1 yard line. That's what happens. Like, this is football. So like, I'll say I really enjoy going out to watch Ravens games, but I feel as if it's between weeks 2 and like 15 is when I enjoy going out the most, because all those other times you've got a bunch of people that don't know what they're talking about screaming at the TVs in public.
You hit that right on target, brother. Is the look, we get it, right? It's a product of winning. The bandwagon gets full, and we love you. If you're wearing purple and black, we love you and embrace you. You're rooting for us hard, but it was evident in the stadium as well. I've seen some folks that I've never seen, and they were getting crazy. It was, you can definitely tell they were like, oh, I got my tickets. I'm going to be here for the experience. And look, that's fine. But it's pretty interesting to know that you had to have that same experience out there in the bars and restaurants locally, how you get those folks that just don't understand it, right? Like, hey, Ravens are on the doorstep of Super Bowl. Let's go out and enjoy the game. And you can definitely tell they have no idea. I'm like,
yeah, no. but you know, go out, support local businesses, support small businesses. Yeah. I love that. I love that they're all making money, but I'll tell you, like, I was sitting there and I just wanted to turn around and be like, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about.
And like, we know any different, right? Just because we have the mics, we're not the experts.
Right. Yeah, we at least bought microphones.
We don't. speaking of that, I kind of want to break this down as we go methodically, because there's a lot to talk about. Obviously, unfortunately, there's no Purple Friday preview, unfortunately, sadly. So we can take our time with this one. So
before we even get into the game, though, we still need to talk about what happened during the pregame.
I want to talk about all that. The good and the bad and the ugly. Let's get into it.
Yeah, the incident between Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, and Justin Tucker. I don't know how to feel about this one. I've listened to what Patrick Mahomes had to say on the radio. I saw the clip of Travis Kelce from his podcast. I saw the clip of Justin Tucker talking to the media. I understand that Justin Tucker and anyone that is a kicker on special teams or whatever gets to use both sides of the field. Justin Tucker said he's never had an incident like this happen before, and he goes and he does the same thing every single time. He goes down there 90 minutes ahead of the game. I don't know if he does that to troll the other team, because at one point I'm like, dude, don't poke the bear. What are you doing giving them more motivation? But if this is something that was innocent, as in just like, this is what I do all the time, I'm just going to do my normal thing. Okay. If you were going down there to antagonize these guys, I mean, mission accomplished, I guess. But it also, I don't like the fact that Travis Kelce came in and punked the team and threw his stuff around. And I lost a lot of respect for Travis Kelce. I know he's got the whole sideshow going on with his girlfriend and everything. And hey, if he is in a relationship with Taylor Swift and they are happy, good for him. Good for him. I'm happy for him. Everybody deserves to be happy. And if she is rich enough to go around to all these different games and get the suites and do all that kind of stuff, good for her. I've seen that she tipped all of the people that worked at M&T Bank Stadium that she ran into, $100 tip. Like, I have no problem with her being on TV. None of that has bothered me. But like, he's throwing around Tucker's helmet and his tee and his football. If it's a routine that Tucker has always done, you can't get mad at him for it. And if he's not breaking any rules, you can't get mad at him for it. But if Tucker is going down there specifically to mess with the other team, I don't like that. But I really don't like the way that the Mahomes and the Chiefs responded as well. This is the part of the game I cannot stand. This is really annoying. I don't like the fact that we have to talk about it, but I don't think that there was anybody in this situation that was right or wrong. But man, I lost a ton of respect for Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in that moment.
I'm right there with you. Obviously, I didn't see it. got in the stadium an hour early before kickoff, but still didn't see it. Saw the aftermath, right? The way I look at it, from my perspective, it looks like Tucker was already there warming up. It's his home stadium, and they came over to him. My first reaction to all that was, because I had to really look at it several times. I didn't read the comments about it until it all came about. But my first reaction was, oh, Travis is just moving the equipment because he don't want his quarterback to step on the equipment, right? The last thing you want is an injury in pregame. And that's right. Like, move the equipment. The more I look at it, right, and seeing the comments that were made, yeah. You can definitely tell, and I've been hearing a lot from the fan base, the Chiefs kind of embody and personify that, like, new era Patriots. Remember how, like, the arrogance and the Patriots, like, oh, like, we can do what we want kind of deal, and that's what it embodied, and you can smell it. And from that, I was kind of like, there were punks from the get-go. What I don't like about it is – because of now we know how the game unfolded, I felt like it should have been a catalyst for this game of the Ravens saying, we're not going to take your crap. We're not going to be bullied here. Because Tucker was just like, I'm doing my routine. I ain't moving. And then obviously the stuff got moved and everything was at. And yeah, Kelsey had his beef to say. Patrick had his beef to say. Tucker had his thing to say. And it is what it is. It's a he said, he said battle. Each side said their piece. Yeah, I didn't like the way it was handled from the get-go. And I felt like, you know, and then even from pregame, it was kind of like, all right, like you already knew there was bad blood, you know, pun intended, already brewing. Like it was that bad. But yeah, I didn't see any of that till I got home and dissected that. But yeah, I certainly lost all respect and it's uncalled for, but it is what it is. You know, no harm, no foul kind of deal, but it's petty. And I felt like the Chiefs, that just showed you kind of what went on all game because they were getting away with a lot. And the Ravens just stood by and just let it happen, which was surprising. What really irritated me was how the game flow went. And I put that on social media, bro. I still haven't seen the footage, and if it hasn't been released yet of what Roquan said in that pregame speech, but when he was doing his pregame speech and got the team together, the crowd, the buzz and what the crowd felt, you can hear them. They were ascending. The buzz was building. I was like, they were this loud for a pregame speech and people are ready to pop off. I said, the energy in here is off the charts. We're going to have a fun day. And it unfortunately didn't amount to that as the afternoon went on. I mean, dude, being in there, I will say this, man. I don't take anything for granted, but just being there and soaking that environment in, I will never forget that. Being present, again, I posted it. I said it certainly wasn't the outcome I dreamed of, but memories are made with the people around me, man. I got to go to an AFC title game with some of my closest friends and ultimately my dad sitting by my side. Like, never will forget that, regardless win or lose. We didn't see confetti fall and a Super Bowl berth and a trophy presentation in our own field. It was pretty sad, pretty disappointing. But at the end of the day, we got to look at this objectively. And there's a lot of why. There's a lot of what. There's a lot of finger pointing. There's a lot of blame. Where do we go from here? How the game started just showed you a glimpse of what was to come. And it just unraveled from there. I mean, Chiefs got the coin toss. They won it. They gave the Ravens the ball. Ravens go three and out. Chiefs go right down the field and score. And it was like the Ravens just, they felt like they scored. It was like they thought the Chiefs scored 20 points in that one play. I'm like, what are y'all doing? Let's get into it.
Do you think that, the Ravens kind of counted their chickens before they hatched? Do you think that the Ravens organization did too much at the beginning of this? Was the weight too big on the current team's shoulders? Because you had Michael Phelps out there, you had the paratroopers coming in, there was going to be a stealth bomber flyover. You had Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Jonathan Ogden and Todd Heap and Dennis Pitta. Like, it was as if they had already won. Do you think that it was too much for this current team to deal with, like everything else going on, that they almost got overhyped and that they needed to figure out what they were going to do once they hit the field? Because it looked like at the beginning of this game, the Chiefs came to play and the Ravens were kind of caught off guard by that.
They didn't look ready at all. It's pretty sad to say, considering that they've already played a playoff game. You would have thought this was 2019 all over again. Like, this game, the way this game played out, led you to believe that the Ravens didn't play a postseason game at all this year. Like, that was the first time they stepped on the field in like a month. I think a lot of fans were worried that this performance would have happened last week. But the whole 2019 PTSD, I mean, am I wrong? And they didn't come out at all. I felt like from the preseason, not preseason, the pregame, the pregame showed you how the team looked. They showed Roquan on the Jumbotron, and he looked mean. That face was like ice cold. Like, I'm ready to F somebody up today. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if you saw the pictures or anywhere floating around social media. Roquan Smith's face coming out of that tunnel. I want to just inject that in my veins.
Yeah, on TV during the national
coming out, huh?
On TV during the national anthem, they zoomed in on Roquan's face, and I was looking at him like the look in his eye. I'm like, he might kill somebody today. Like, he might hit somebody so hard their head pops off.
He looks ready to kill somebody, immerse somebody in that field. And I'm like, dude, like, they're ready to go. And unfortunately, the offense didn't have that same look in their eye. They had the look of, it's dark, there are deer running across the road, and there's headlights coming, and what do? Let's run here. Like, I don't know, man. But the way that game started, I knew. I didn't want to speak it. But when they went 3-and-out on offense, I was like, yep, yeah, this is going to be a long day in the stadium. Like,
yeah.
Look, the team can go 3-and-out and they can get it, right? They won a playoff game by 24 points, and they barely did anything in the first half last week, right? You fast forward to Sunday, and it was a totally different thing. What I can't understand for the life of me, right? The whole time you're sitting there, two things got to my mind. One, didn't this, the way that the Chiefs operate offensively, remind you of the Patriots way?
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
Yeah.
They paper cut you. 3-5 yard catches all day. And it was like they weren't like going down the field. It was run a 2-yard route here. Run a 5-yard route here. Run 7-yard route here. Like, it was like, are you kidding me? The other thing I noticed was, what was the Chiefs' problem all year? Drop balls, man. How many times on the national stage did the Chiefs get ripped apart for their receivers? Can't catch a cold.
Right.
You enter a championship bout without Sky Moore and Kadarius Toney. They're out two receivers. And I even said, I'm like, oh, it's hilarious. Like, Ravens are going to easily handle that. Like, they got a rookie in Rashee Rice. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and they got Kelce, and that's it. Like, we shut down Kelce, and you're going to make a rookie receiver beat you, and then we get our corner Marlon Humphrey back.
The way this started, the Kansas City Chiefs came to play. That was obvious. They knew they weren't done, and the Ravens, it felt to me as if they were already saying they were in the Super Bowl, and this was just an anomaly that they had to get through. So I'm not happy with the entire team and how they played. We haven't talked about Lamar yet. I'm not happy with his play, but I'm not putting everything on his shoulders. The defense, it took them some time to get established on the field. And when you're playing in the AFC title game, you're playing against a team like the Chiefs, you do not have that time. I said that last week. You do not have the time to figure things out. That's got to be done before the game. And the Ravens didn't do that. The defense looked lost at the beginning of the game. They looked shocked. They were able to right the ship. I will give them that. After those 17 points in the first half, they didn't allow anything to happen offensively from the Chiefs anymore in the game. So they were there for a chunk of the game, but not the whole thing. And when Patrick Mahomes did that crazy exorcist spider walk move where he didn't get tackled and he kind of put his hands on the ground, was able to spin around and go from his back onto his feet, make that pass to Travis Kelce, and Kelce actually caught it, the game was over at that point.
Absolutely. You almost hate to go there, but you just knew what kind of day it was, right? You knew how it was going to unfold. By the way, like, look, not taking away from his greatness, Kelce caught all 11.
Yeah.
And it was crazy because he did have some uncharacteristic games this year for the Chiefs that, like, I watched some of those Chiefs games, and he had some, like, he was wide open in the middle of the field, and the ball got to him, and he was, like, break hands. And then he'd just sit there and shrug. Like, he was obviously visibly upset, but it was more like, man, like, let that one get away. And that was my beef. I'm like, I'm sitting there in the stadium and I'm like slamming the chair and I'm like, what is with? I was like, you dropped all catches all season and all of a sudden you want to catch everything thrown to you. Don't understand it. A lot of times the Ravens defense, they would look like they were going to get a stop and then 87 would catch the ball. And I'm like, why is he wide open in the flat? Why is he catching, sitting down in the seam? Why is he sitting down in the zone reads? Like, are you not accounting for that and putting two or three guys on that guy? That the offense flows for him now that they were down two receivers. It just was, I mean, the touchdown catch and some of the unbelievable catches he made. Look, you know, we're certainly going to break down what the Ravens didn't do and the inept ability of the offense. But when you hold the Chiefs to 17 total points, not only in the half, but the game, the defense didn't allow a single point in the second half, my friend. Like,
yep.
They held their end of the bar. They did what they've been doing all year. The Ravens, what? They averaged, what, 16 and a half points allowed? Right there. There's their mark. They did what they do all year. And the offense averages over 25 points. They averaged 159 on the ground plus. And they didn't do what they do all year. What was the – dude? And I'm already fed up with the coaching because we knew, we weren't going to get the accountability. No one's going to go up there like Todd or Harbs and go, you know what? Yeah, we screwed up. We should have ran the ball more. We screwed up the game plan. But no, it's more like the same old stupid coach speak. And I'm frankly, I'm fed up with it. Did you see the comments of like, I did not like that explanation at all. There's no accountability at all.
Yeah. And we're going to get into the offensive side of the ball in a little bit. We definitely have to do that. But the defense, they played.
Yeah.
Let's stick with the defense right now. They played a good 45 minutes, you know, 50 minutes even. And, you know, if we could get to the Super Bowl on their backs, I think, you know, it would have been great. But that those first couple stumbles, It's a game of 60 minutes. You don't play the full 60 minutes, you're not going to be able to win that game. And they didn't play a full game. But I do want to bring up again the Travis Kelce making himself known. We were always called the bullies of Baltimore. The Chiefs came in and they outbullied the bullies, and we have to give them credit for that. Travis Kelce was playing this villain role. He was getting under their skin, and we've praised guys like Kyle Van Noy all season about them coming in, slipping from the fountain of youth, doing such a great job and being such a great part of this team. Kyle Van Noy got caught up in this and he got baited. Travis Kelce baited him. And guess what happened? Kyle Van Noy is the one that got the penalty. I think Travis Kelce should have gotten a plethora of penalties for taunting and that kind of stuff in this game, and he didn't. But Kyle Van Noy went up to him and got into his face, and they went helmet to helmet. That will get called every single time. This was a very undisciplined team. I don't know what was going on in all of the players' heads, but very undisciplined. The Chiefs came in, they got under everybody's skin, they annoyed the players, and it worked because the Ravens did not play their own game. And I don't like what Kyle Van Noy did. He is a veteran. He should know better than to retaliate the way he did, because that cost us yards. And how many times were those flags out of the pockets of the refs the entire game? I'm not going to blame the refs for this loss.
Or lack thereof.
I'm not going to blame the refs for this loss. However, I think the refereeing was terrible, but the Ravens ought to know better. Like, when calls aren't going your way, you can't do stuff like that. You can't retaliate. You can't do it because you're going to be the one that gets called. And Kyle Van Noy should have known better.
He should have known better. And I saw that from the get-go. They were beating him. You can't fall into that trap. And I don't know if it was just the energy around the team. We talked about it last show, right? You brought it up and we talked about openly, you know, was there an issue with the team dancing after a divisional win versus how the Chiefs handle business, saying like, we're going in there, we got to handle business, like step it up. Like, now looking at the totality of the situation, I almost like the way the Chiefs locker room was.
Right.
Like, and what Kelce said, like, let's step it up a notch. Like, that's what I want out of my guys. Like, there, you do that dancing and all that was good. And I feel like I almost want to disagree myself, and I want to backtrack now, knowing it. It's kind of like I was okay with it after the Dolphins game because they clinched the one seed and Harbaugh's dancing. I'm like, they met their goal. They got the divisional crown, got the one seed. Time to relax. Now it's time to go get a Super Bowl. Time to go win some games, right? If they'd have handled their business after the divisional game, there shouldn't have been all that dancing. It should have been. Now, looking at it, hindsight, I'll change my stance. And I kind of really wanted, I really want to do that now and go, you know what? I love how the Chiefs handled it. They're like, oh, we'll go out there and do it. And they're the veteran team.
Yeah.
You would think like they would be the ones dancing because they've been there before, but that's the problem. The Ravens haven't been there before, and they were celebrating like they won the thing already prematurely. Then they come out undisciplined, unprepared. They did everything in one game that they couldn't have done, and they haven't done in a long time, and they haven't been doing all year.
Is it wrong for me to say that the game on Sunday against the Chiefs was the worst played game of the entire season for the Ravens?
Oh, absolutely. 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 Look, now offensively, it was the worst game since the Steelers game, where they put up 10 points as well, and it was the same outcome. But again, the offense went right down the field on the Steelers, and it was like drop balls and, you know, throwing interceptions and turnovers, and there was a fumble there too. I think Justice Hill fumbled in that Steelers game, if I recall.
Right.
Lamar throwing an end zone interception like he did on Sunday. It was just the same old song and dance. Like, and it was broken down. I was watching some of the national shows and the national coverage just on Friday, and they were saying, if Lamar takes care of the football, the Ravens do what they do, they easily win this game. What did they not do? They didn't take care of the football. Three turnovers. A Lamar fumble, a Zay Flowers fumble, and a Lamar interception. And he almost had two. Luckily, he caught the pass, which was a phenomenal, crazy play, and I thought he was going to score. If he had scored, the place would have tore off its foundation.
Before we get into more of the offensive side, let's take a quick break. Let's take a breather.
Let's take a breather.
We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk about what happened to Lamar and this offense after these messages.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Let's talk about what happened. Lamar Jackson and the offense took Sunday off. They did not get the job done. I don't know who to blame. I really don't in this, but why are you not running the ball? It is the AFC title game. Running has been your bread and butter all season. I have a plethora of questions, Josh, for you about the run game, but they didn't utilize the talent that they had for running. I want to know. You're Mr. Ravens, so I want to hear what you got to say. But they do this. They have Gus Edwards and Justice Hill, who are dynamic runners. They have Lamar Jackson, who is a runner. They have Dalvin Cook, who they just signed, and now kind of baffles me why he was signed in the first place. But they abandoned the run. I know you're trying to keep the Kansas City Chiefs on their toes and not do what they expect. You know, it's like Rocky and Rocky II switching and not being a southpaw. But when you do have a dynamic guy like Lamar Jackson, I don't feel like you need to abandon it completely. Limit it, sure. But why didn't the run happen at all in this game, Josh? It doesn't make any sense to me why the run was just taken out of the game plan.
I'm still visibly steaming from this exact situation. The Ravens were coming out throwing the ball like they were down 20-something points. Like, every offensive play call was a pass, it seemed like, right?
Right.
Looking at the box score, the Ravens threw it 37 times and only had 16 total rushes, half of which were Lamar's, eight of them. Eight. Patrick Mahomes threw 39 times, two more passes than Lamar. Like, what gives? But you know what the Chiefs also did? They ran the ball twice as much as the Ravens. They doubled them up, 32 attempts to 16. There's your answer. Chiefs had the formula, 16 more rushes. You look back at the week prior. Dude, this is going to make me so mad. So, divisional round weekend. Let's talk about this. Divisional round weekend. All right. Ravens, Texans. The Ravens came in to the postseason with the NFL league leading averaging per rush in offense, right? Was it 159? It was like on the cusp of 160. Call it 160. Let's be generous. 160 yards a game for the sake of conversation. That's pretty good. First in the league, tops. You go out there on the first game on divisional round weekend after taking 3 weeks off. Yeah, you got started a little slow, but let's look at the totality of that. 42 rushing attempts as a team between four different players, excuse me. Lamar, Hill, Edwards, Cook. 229 rushing yards. Pretty impressive, right? Pretty stinking good. Above average. Well, above average. We know Lamar had a buck on that 100 on the dot. Hill had 66. Edwards had 10 for 40. And Dalvin had 8 for 23. Dalvin's longest run was 19. His first carry was virtually about 20 yards. And even in that fourth quarter, if you go look at the game plan and the play calls and the script that was followed, they rushed the ball a lot in that fourth quarter, and they were first down after tick, 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 clock management, right? Last game of divisional weekend, the Kansas City Chiefs Buffalo Bill game. Buffalo got out on one early. We know the Chiefs won by a failed attempt of the Bills to go in overtime for a field goal. That game plan was similar to the Ravens in fashion of rushing. Josh Allen led the Bills in rushing with 12 carries for 72 yards in that game. The Bills had five different rushers in the game that totaled 182 yards. 182 on the same Kansas City Chiefs defense that we just played a week later. Same guys. So you're telling me the Bills showed you the blueprint. 182 yards, which is more than what the Ravens are averaging. The Ravens rushed for 229. And you come in this game plan and you don't rush the ball. You're only down 7. You're only down 10. And you're throwing the football like you're down 2, 3, 4 touchdowns. Like, what is going through Todd Monken and John Harbaugh's minds? Like, run the football. And then they get up on the podium. And go, oh, yeah, yeah. The game plan probably didn't call for it. Maybe probably should have done. No, you should have ran the freaking football. Like, I don't understand for the life of me, Brandon, why? Why? Gus Edwards had 20 rush yards. You know, 15 of those capped on one play.
One play.
One play amounted for 75% of the total rush yards for Gus Edwards that day. It's like, what did they see? Oh, that works. We're not going to run it. Like, Gus was killing it. Lamar's longest run was 21 yards. Why? There was time, and I don't know if it's in Lamar's head. Now that I've seen some of the film breakdown and some of the stills and the play, because Lamar let plays on the field all day. I think it could be the totality of, or it is the totality of the pressure of the game, because now he already got the monkey off his back with the week before he got the playoff win. But also, he looks like he's like thinking too much. Like,
big time.
I got to sit back there and I got to throw it because I can't be a runner. Like, go back to doing what you did. Like, how about what happened to those play calls like against the Houston Texans where they spread everybody wide and Lamar runs it up the gut, touchdown. What happened to the fourth down and two when he bootlegged it and he ran it like 20 yards for the first down against Houston? What happened to those play calls? Did they get stolen in a week? Did Todd get paid off to like throw the game? What is going on? Like, the offensive script did not match what was going on. The Chiefs weren't winning 30-7. It was 17-7. Like, oh my God, I'm so angry, dude. You can sense I'm visibly frustrated as everybody is. Why did they not run the football? And they could have still overcome All the penalties, the boneheaded mistakes, the undisciplined, the non-calls that didn't go their way, and the turnovers, and they still could have probably won. You're telling me even with the ineptibility of the offense, the defense shut these suckers out in the second half. You can't get in a Tucker range four times. You know, Tucker kicks just four field goals and they win. Isn't that crazy? Like, the game was right there. And again, I heard it from my friends. We talked about it. My buddy Mike said, I'd rather just lose. Like, I'd rather lose 56-19 in this kind of game, because then you just got mollywopped. Oh, got whooped by the defending champs. No big deal. But it's just the Ravens, man. Like, it makes you wonder, because it looked like, look, and I'm not for, like, sitting here, oh, I throw the game, but I'm like, you went against everything you stood for to get you to this point, and you got out of character. I don't know if it, but they all looked scrambled, they looked hurried, they looked flustered, and it was ridiculous. I don't know if it was the defense got them rattled, or if the way the Chiefs went down and scored and the Ravens were like, oh, we got to match them. Dude, the Dolphins did that a month ago. They went down and scored. Lamar and the Ravens went right down and matched them. It was tied at 7, just like it was in this game. And the Ravens ended up winning that game 56-19. It was tied last Saturday, 10-10, and the Ravens went on to win 34-10. Why the panic? The Ravens offensively looked like there was no rhythm. People were visibly frustrated. You know, receivers were open. Lamar wouldn't hit him. And he was holding on to the ball way too stinking long. Got to get rid of it, man. Got to get rid of it. There it is. Very frustrated. The mistakes happened. What did you see? Because I want to focus simply on that whole Zay Flowers being wide open. Like, why did he stop? Like, I felt like if he'd have kept running, that's a touchdown. Like, it wasn't like the ball was overthrown. It looked like he was already stopped waiting for the pass. Like, I don't understand any of that at all. Some of these things that we saw on Sunday were very bizarre, very uncharacteristic. Like, OBJ was wide open a few times. Lamar didn't see him. There was the times the tight ends in the flat were open. Gus Edwards was open in the flat. Like, Lamar wasn't just seeing the field as he usually does. He just wasn't seeing it. And everybody still thinks he's the regular season MVP, and I know it's not based on postseason, but I'm like, bro, he did not play anywhere close to an MVP. He played like a dud, and he picked the worst time to do it.
I mean, I hate to do this and say this, and I don't want to put this all on Lamar's shoulders, because I think our offensive line is the thing that needs to get fixed the most moving forward, at least on the offensive side of the ball, because Ronnie Stanley, Morgan Moses are not cutting it. But this team buckled. The entire team buckled. Nobody on this team was perfect or even close to perfect of what they had to be. But this is just another signal that Lamar Jackson has trouble with the spotlight. He does. I'm sorry. He does. He will do everything he can correctly in the regular season, but for whatever reason, he gets to the postseason, he tries to put everything on his own shoulders, and I don't get it. I don't understand why. I think Lamar Jackson is such a dynamic player. I'm happy he's the Ravens QB. He's incredibly talented, but for whatever reason, the playoffs happen, and he goes, I got to do this on my own. I got to do this on my own. I got to put everything on my shoulders. Right now, Lamar Jackson is tied with 6 other people for being in one of the worst playoff records of all time for a starting QB. Alex Smith is number one. Dak Prescott, Billy Kilmer, Warren Moon, Lamar Jackson. Those are your top 5. Lamar is tied with 6 others for that spot.
It can't be too bad.
It's just
the same.
Right. But I mean, that. Yeah. I don't know what
to be on.
I don't know what Lamar is doing. I don't know what he isn't seeing out there. If, like, maybe we need to give credit to the Kansas City Chiefs defense for doing what they had to do. I mean, the fumble from Zay Flowers, what a play by that defender on the Kansas City Chiefs. That was a great play. He did what he had to do. He punched that ball out. It was the right play at the right time. But when Lamar gets to this point, he gets flustered, and it's like he forgets that there's other people on this team. I think the offensive line left him out to dry for a couple plays where they weren't blocking for him. But when he did have time and he was getting blitzed beyond belief. Every single play, it felt like he was getting blitzed. But if you're getting blitzed, that means there's people open down the field. So I don't know what happened. Nelson Aguilar, you know, he was targeted once or twice. You got to catch that ball. Rashad Bateman, I think it's time to cut ties with Rashad Bateman as well. He and Lamar just, they don't work well together. They are not on the same page.
And you're already cleaning house. You're done.
I think this is what we got to do to get better. Todd Monken is brand new, but why is he abandoning the run with Lamar Jackson? This is like the same problem we had with Greg Roman. Does it go above the coordinator spot? You know, is this John Harbaugh making the final spot of, or the final say of, this is what we're going to do moving forward, and forgetting about that part of Lamar Jackson's career? Odell Beckham was non-existent in this game. Zero impact whatsoever. And he was paid more than the Ravens normally pay for a wide receiver, specifically for this month. He was specifically paid to get this team to the Super Bowl, to have a superstar who had been there before. And, you know, if he missed a couple games at the beginning of the season, fine. As long as he was ready to go for January, that was the whole point. And he was non-existent. He wasn't there. I know there's a clip right now on social media of him and Lamar talking on the sidelines during the game going, dude, why aren't they giving you the ball? Why aren't they letting you run? What's going on? Why aren't you running? You're dynamic. You got to do this. You got to do that. So, I don't know who's making these calls. Obviously, when you get to the big times, they don't have faith in Lamar Jackson. The coaching staff doesn't have faith in Lamar Jackson to be the dynamic player he has to be, and they make him one-dimensional, I should say, which is wrong because he can do both. He can run, he can pass, he can do both. But for whatever reason, these big games happen, and they're like, let's forget half of the game. Let's forget what makes this guy unique and what makes this guy special, and let's make him like all the other quarterbacks in the NFL that aren't still here. Makes no sense to me whatsoever. Like we said, Lamar's becoming more of a leader. Maybe he needs to say something to his offensive coordinator and go, coach, I can do this.
Well, what happened? Speaking of that, didn't he give the pep talk in halftime last weekend?
Right.
Like, did he not lead the charge this time? And you hit it right there. Like, it's been brought up many times that, is this the way that the position's going, right? The dual threat, you know, and such like that. And just like, let him be him. Let him transcend the position. And it doesn't need to be that whole pocket situation, right? It's good to have both and scramble when you need to. But I think we just put emphasis on like, oh, but he can't scramble all the time, or he can't pass. Why can't he do both? Running backs catch and run. Why can't he throw and run? Like, because you're a quarterback, you got to be put in a box. And to me, it looks like when there's some big games like that, and there's times where we can see it because we know his athletic ability. And then you're like, run Lamar, there's a lane. And he's sitting back and holding the ball. And then he gets strip sacked, or it's an incomplete pass, or the sack, you know, ends up happening. But there were times in the game where his ability left you wonders. You know, the ball got tipped. It looked like it was going to be an interception. He followed the ball, caught his own tip pass, and he actually was logged as a reception, and he ran it, and he almost took it to the house. Like, how about getting out of the sack, still looking down the field, and finding Zay Flowers for the lone touchdown? Like, that was an awesome play. But there's too many times where he's holding on the ball way too long, and it's detrimental to the health and the success of the team, especially offensively, because you can't. Like, I'm all for looking down the field, making plays like he did, you know, in a lot of the games this year of, like, you know, he's looking to pass first, not run. But there are times where you just need to say, screw it. You got my guys covered. The pressure's coming. I'm going to run. And I don't know if you heard this, but speaking of that, OBJ was on that side of things, because did you hear the audio that came out during the game? He said something about, like, the game changes when you take off, bro. Like, he was like, right. I don't know what's going on. Like, he was even telling him, like, what are you doing? I think it's in his head. It's mental.
Yeah.
I think he's listening to all the media, and he always says, I don't hear the noise, and I don't listen. Yeah, bull. You're listening to it because it's going to your head. You sit back there, and you don't want to run because you don't want to be that guy. I don't care if you run 200 yards. Win the stinking game, dude. We'll deal with the aftermath later. To me, I just don't understand. And that's the formula. That's the success. He has all these rushing accolades, right? The first player to do this in history and do this in history and youngest to do this and doing that. And I'm like, do what makes you unique and use your skill sets and ball out like you're the champ that you are. When you get out of your character and you fold, here come all the critics back, right? Can't do it. Can't win the big game, blah, blah, blah. And he looked very frustrated, very lost. And that wasn't the leader that we saw during the Texans divisional win, where, you know, he lashed out at Ronnie, He said, let's go. They were very assertive going forward on fourth down. They took over the game plan. When he gets on the podium and he goes, who led the speech? I did. And he pounds his chest like, that's a leader. It was totally different Lamar's from the week ago till now. And it's a shame. Like, got to be better. Got to do better. What's even more interesting, got to be better and do better, is protecting the football. I kind of went and now, you know, turned attention to the turning point of the game was the Zay Flowers fumble at the goal line. Obviously, we're all celebrating. We thought he got in. And when we saw the scrum, we're like, no. Bro, I was standing up. We were all standing up celebrating. When they showed the replay and the fumble stood, I slowly sat in my chair in the stadium and I'm just stared. And I'm like, that was it. That's the game. Like, I knew there, we're not going to win. You score there. And it's a 3-point game. The whole dynamic of that game flow changes. And Ravens probably would have won the game at that point. It's a shame. You just can't do that.
Zay Flowers is a rookie. He was drafted last year, mm-hmm. and he's looked like $1 million since then until this game. And he kind of showed how much of a rookie he still is. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, this is his first year in the league. He's going to make some mistakes. You just wish that they weren't on this big of a stage, that they would have been worked out already. But the taunting penalty, you can't do that. Come on. Like, you know better. But that wasn't the end of it. He was like, I'm going to make up for it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. You know, he was trying to make a play. I'm not going to get mad at him for trying to make a play at the goal line. He was trying to get that touchdown. He was trying to, say that punch doesn't happen. There's potential of us talking about the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Like, that's how close this game was throughout the entire time. So I'm not going to be mad at Zay for trying to make a play. I'll be mad at him for the taunting, but him stretching for the goal line, while it wasn't necessary, because like, he had the first down, you have other chances to get into the end zone. You didn't need to get the touchdown at that moment. And plus, this goes back to me what I said last week of controlling the clock. You could have had the offense on the field a little bit longer and kept Mahomes on the bench a little bit longer if you would have stretched out those plays a little bit more. But he didn't have to go for the goal line at that time, but he was trying to make a play. So I'm not going to be mad at him for that. He had two hands on the ball. It's not like he stretched it out once. It's a rookie mistake. It's a rookie mindset, and he's going to learn from that. He already said that, and we have Zay Flowers for a long time to come. So it sucks, but it's his inexperience, and it showed.
It did. And look, he's a rookie. He's going to learn from that and grow. Still inexcusable. You can't make that mistake. Not saying because he's a rookie that mistakes are allowed to happen, but I'm saying from a growth opportunity, he's young. He ain't a veteran receiver, man. Like, he'll learn. Another thing, too, and we want to talk about Flowers and all that, is one of the big topics coming out of this game, right? the taunting and the catch. Because, when you're at a game live, you don't see stuff like that going on. Like, you're excited, right? He caught a big catch, big play. Thousand yard score, gets tackled. We're all high-fiving people. It's a hurry-up offense. I think it was at the end of the first half, and if I remember correctly, I can't remember what point in the game it was. And you know, Zay apparently like stood. When I saw the replay, when I got home, like, I see the whole standing over him, but like, everybody was like, "Oh, he like pushed him, shoved him off." I'm like, "No, the defender was laying on top of him, and the Ravens were actually running a hurry up offense. Zay was trying to get the crap up, like, get off, like, get off me, like." You're trying to get him removed so you can get up and go. I mean, yeah, he stood over him for a few seconds, but we have screenshots that are now floating around on social media. Looks like Kelsey did the same thing on his touchdown to Kyle Hamilton. Did he not?
He did. He did. 100% he did. Yeah.
I recorded the game. I went back and watched it. He certainly did. And you're right. Like, the whole thing going back to Kyle Van Noy, and like, you can't take the bait, but like, the Chiefs were getting away with all that all game long. But you want to throw the flag to Zay Flowers in that exact moment, it just ruined the Ravens' offensive momentum. I also have a problem with the no call of, and not even into the interception, but how about blatantly and on purposely taking Isaiah Likely down on the flat? No call there? Bro, I came back home and watched that because it was right in my end of the stadium. And when I got home and watched that on loop, I became more and more infuriated because I'm like, anybody else, Chief, Bengal, Texan, throw any team out there, Jaguar, that's a penalty. On any other Sunday, Monday, Thursday night regular season, that's a penalty. And you mean that just it just showed you like good. And I agree with you what you stated before, Brandon. I will not sit here on this show or any platform and say the Ravens lost because of the refs. But I can certainly – there's two things that can be true. The Ravens made a lot of mental mistakes, got away from the game plan, but also the refs were horrible, and they did call the game in favor of the Chiefs. It was blatant. And I'm not saying, oh, that's why they lost. I am not saying that because people always twist my words. When I start jabbing the refs and missed calls, oh, you're one of those guys that complains because your team lost and the refs, no. But you cannot sit there objectively – and unbiasedly and say the game was called fairly down the middle. It is never called fairly down the middle to begin with, but it was completely obvious what was going on, man. Like the Ravens weren't winning that game no matter what.
I would much rather see Taylor Swift, shots of Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl watching Travis Kelce play than seeing Patrick Mahomes' wife and brother, because those two annoy the ever-living crap out of me.
That's hilarious. Look, they're defending champs for a reason. They made the plays. Kelce's a future Hall of Famer along with Patrick. And when Kelce catches all 11 balls and Patrick does what he does, it shows you why they're good. And for everything amounting against the Ravens with game plan and no running and turnovers and losing composure and discipline and everything else that comes with that, and Lamar not balling out, the Chiefs showed you why they're the Chiefs. And they're good. They're good for a reason. And they had our number. And they caught a good game plan offensively. But the frustrating part and the totality of it is that the Ravens defense adjusted because it looked like the Ravens are about to get blown out of building. Like, they couldn't stop the Chiefs. Time possession. They had like 20 first downs in like the first half. It was ridiculous. I'm like, oh, it's going to be one of those games. And then like when you saw them complete, like stopped them on fourth down. You know, and they didn't have any turnovers. And that's what I was pretty upset about is the Ravens kind of shut them down and they didn't have a single turnover. But the Ravens gave them every chance. I mean, they were inside their own the Chiefs 25-yard line, come up with no points. It's just a sad tale, man. It left a lot of bad taste in mouth. A lot of fans were really bitter, disappointing, still not over it. And with everything else, right, that this team will never be the same. This was a cohesive unit. We know now with Mike McDonald leaving, you know, where does that leave defensive coordinator? And obviously we'll cover that when the new hire comes. Going on that, I personally would put my name in the ring for Anthony Weaver. I like to see him being promoted from within, or Zach Orr, either one of those guys be promoted defensive coordinator instead of hiring from outside. But my beef lies with Todd Monken and Harbaugh ultimately, but because you got to be held accountable in everything. You go up there and do coach speak. But Brandon, at the end of this whole situation, it's not the storybook season comes to an end. You know, all the Super Bowl trips for everybody get refunded, unfortunately, and all of our plans go kaplooey. It's like, where does that leave the Ravens? Because for all the frustrating exits and what goes on leadership wise, do you know the common denominator is Harbaugh? We might have to really take a hard look at that.
Look, you've got 4 years left of Lamar Jackson on his current deal. You got to think about that. Four years are left. Do you stick with John Harbaugh throughout those 4 years? You bring somebody else in, because like you said, the common denominator with all of these failures with Lamar Jackson is that John Harbaugh was there. You can't blame Greg Roman anymore. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. And with Mike McDonald leaving, that's huge. I was kind of hoping they were going to do a Jay Leno, Conan O'Brien agreement where John gets 5 more years and then McDonald takes over, kind of like they did with Ozzie and EDC. But, you know, it is what it is. But we do have to say, I mean, congratulations to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, to get to the Super Bowl yet again, that's no easy feat. And they could do back to back. This is the next era of Tom Brady. You know, he's cementing his legacy that way. And, you know, Walmart, great value Gronk and Travis Kelce is right there with him. It's the that duo works really well together. And, you know, just like with Roman Reigns, everyone complaining about him being the champion. You don't like it? Beat him. That's what you got to do. If you don't want to see if you don't want to see Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl ever again, you got to beat them. They're not going to roll over. That's what makes them so great. You got to beat them. And what
sucks about all this is the Ravens finally got him out of Arrowhead and he still couldn't beat him.
He was able to overcome. So
he went to the Ravens, man. And
now
we can have the conversation is this is the second time the Ravens have been one seed and haven't done anything show for it. They're 1-2 being the one seed. Guess home field advantage of Baltimore isn't all it's cracked up to be. Where 1 week we went from the most underrated environment in the NFL and it's loud and blah, blah, blah to it mean nothing. Didn't mean nothing. But not to take away from it, but the game, just being in the environment was awesome to actually see what it's like to be at one of these things. Never forget it for the rest of my life. And I got to be there. Was very one of the truly blessed ones to do it. I just can't say it enough. It was great to be there. But the point I was going to make is you're sitting here and I notice the sign above you because we're on camera. What the Puck from your other podcast. You're wearing a Holy Tuck shirt. So is that a premonition? Are we going to change the podcast to Holy Tuck from now on? Got What the Puck and Holy Tuck. Imagine that.
Well, after this game, I am asking what the tuck happened, but
I think we all are. And I think we will for days and months to come, you know, cause there's a lot of uncertainty, man. There's a lot of free agents on this list coming up.
Notable free agents here. We've got Odell Beckham, Kevin Zeitler, Jadeveon Clowney, Rocky Asin, Gus Edwards, Patrick Queen, Justin Matabike, and J.K. Dobbins.
That's
a big list.
Quarter of the team, third of the team. Yeah, it's a big list. who knows what might happen. We will be here alone for the ride for sure, but utterly disappointing. It just sucks, dude. It just sucks that we didn't get to witness an AFC title crown on home turf. And who knows if it'll ever happen again. what is it with Baltimore, man? Orioles and Ravens were the number one seeds in the same seasons, technically. Home field through the MLB playoffs in the American League ran through Baltimore. They got ousted. Ran through Baltimore here in the NFL, got ousted. It could be a situation where if the Chiefs end up still winning and they win back-to-back Super Bowls here, the Orioles and Ravens could have eventually lost to the eventual champion. So, who knows what might happen, but I say all that to say this. We can't have nice things around here, can we? I mean, it's just think when you have it all, who knows, maybe Ravens need to be the underdog in the fifth or sixth seed because the Chiefs were the third. And there's the Super Bowl rematch could have happened. Everybody dubbed it. It was Ravens, Niners. Niners held up their end of the bargain. But how about that? I mean, I was certainly rooting for the Lions after the Ravens lost. I was like, all right, let's go Lions. And dude, they were 24-7. Lost that game. Feel bad for City of Detroit. Feel bad for Lions fans, players and coaches there. But I'm going to tell you this right now. This is a rematch of a Super Bowl that was, 2 years ago?
Right.
And frankly, I am so disoriented with this. And I'm not saying it's I'm salty because the Ravens didn't make it. I'm not saying I'm salty because, you know, the disrespect and the disdain for the Chiefs and the sideshow and all that. I'm just – this matchup does not interest me at all. I'm more interested in the Pro Bowl games than this matchup, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not saying I'm not going to watch Super Bowl. I'm not going to be one of those guys. I might dabble in it, might not. I can't promise you. But I will say this. I am very least interested in this game.
Yeah, it's not the game that America wanted. I think America wanted Ravens versus Lions, but you know, we'll see what happens in 2 weeks at the Super Bowl. But Josh, for this Red Eye review, have we covered everything for this episode of the call?
I'm still red from fuming. And no contacts needed for that. But man, I say this, it's been a fun year, man. We've had a lot of fun. We've done some good interviews this year. Thank you to all of our guests this year. I mean, Ed Smith was a great interview. Certainly thank him for his time. We've had some we've had some solid time here on the call in 2023, and what we thought was going to be embarking on a third championship and all that. You were so sure of it. You took off. So are you still taking off on that day?
No, I gave that day back.
You gave it back. Okay. You were so sure. So we will say a prayer for Brandon working that day. no more, but no, man, it's been fun. And, you know, it seems like we're definitely going to hit, or we will hit our 400th episode this coming season. So looking forward to that, man. 400 episodes and more. We're getting really in the weeds, and we have to start thinking about what we do in the next couple of years for Big 500. I'll do something huge for that one. That's going to be a big, big moment. So we're closing in on 500 episodes, where this is 383. And the conversation has been good. I don't know if you saw the chat or on the socials, but the interactions have been off the charts this week. Thank you to all. It's been awesome, the conversations and had. And I will say this, we'll address it, but didn't really think about this when it happened. I know we covered it and we talked about the exciting stadium renovations that are forthcoming for the Ravens stadium here, M&T Bank Stadium, but didn't think about the negative impacts. And I certainly wanted to shout out to Kathleen. She's been giving us and feeding us some info that I wasn't aware of, and especially me as a PS Home owner didn't think about. And I certainly wanted to, whether it's here or another show, but I wanted to at least unpack and touch on the remark saying, we hear you. It's unfortunate. And I wish we can do something about it for you, and we can't. But I will just say this, your remarks are not going unnoticed, and we will certainly address that, because it's certainly sad, man. When big things happen like that, you don't think of the impacts of what could be. And for people to lose a pocket of tickets and seats that they've had for years, and now they have to be told to move because the Ravens have made the choice to do an expansion or a renovation, I just think it's sad. And it's sad just to see. But I just leave it at that. But I certainly just want to recognize the comments that were made and everything else. And it's just, again, unfortunate that it's got to come to that for that kind of business decision.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Kathleen has reached out to us. You can check some of her comments out on our Facebook as well. It's with the renovations going on at the stadium, there are some PSL owners that are losing their seats. And there are people that have, you know, grown to like each other because they are all in the same section. I'm sure you have friends in your section as well that the Ravens have kind of informed, like, look, you got to move on. You got to move. We're tearing this section out of the stadium and we're doing some other things. So it's a very long story. She does have a group available. So definitely check out our Facebook and see what she has to say about this situation. But Josh, I think that's pretty much it for the show this week. If you want to discuss Ravens during this offseason with us, make sure you do it over on our Discord, discord.gg/thecallpodcast. Join our server over there. You can do some tailgate talk, not some game day chat, not for a little bit, not till August at least, but we definitely will have some tailgate talk over there. Big thank you to Fans First Sports Network for bringing us on this year. It's been great getting to know a lot of the guys over there and getting to interact with some different teams. I know Josh has been a guest on a couple different shows, but since we have joined them, Josh and I haven't really talked about it. We need to kind of brainstorm a little bit. We don't want to fully go away in the off season like we have in the past. So we're going to talk about it and see what we can fit into our schedule and see what we can do during this off season to kind of stay active with the podcast and stay active on the Fans First Sports Network. So we will definitely keep you guys informed. Make sure, again, join our Facebook, and that's facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there, so whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Don't unsubscribe from your podcast feed. Just leave us subscribed right there in your favorite podcast app. Write us an Apple Podcast review. Rate us over on Spotify. And, still bleeding the purple and black, even with that bad loss on Sunday against the Chiefs. We were one game away from the big game. One game away from the Super Bowl. So close. But I think that's it for the show this week. So, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Thank you, my man. It's been a fun year, but certainly is disappointing. Certainly is frustrating. But as we always say, because I'm mad doesn't mean I don't care. We still love our team. Still love the city. Still love the Ravens. This one's going to sting because you're right there on the precipice of the Super Bowl, the aspirations, and we all want this for the Ravens, the city, ultimately for Lamar as well because he wants it so bad. But look, his story's not done being written. And he said, get a Super Bowl out of me. You're going to believe that. He didn't say win. He said, you're going to. So whether it's his seventh year, eighth year, final year, go get it. But the Ravens have to hold up their end of the bargain. They have to be better, hold themselves accountable, and look in the mirror because some of the answers are right there sitting in front of them. They have themselves to blame for this. They didn't get mollywopped in this game. They had the defending champs on the ropes. Defense played lights out. And it's unfortunate it has to come to that. A lot of mistakes, shooting themselves in the foot. It's too much to overcome. And with all the frustration, you can point the blame anywhere you want, right? The refs, ring games, Taylor Swift agenda, Mahomes and the Kelce situation, whatever it may be. And you're allowed to do that. Grieve your own way. Vent your own way. If you want to blame that, you're not wrong. No one is wrong here, okay? But there's a new day out there, and we got to make it work. So with all that being said, we appreciate you coming along for the ride. As always, with the Call Faithful out there, can't wait what's in store coming this season for 2024. A lot of changes are coming. We just covered one beginning of the show. Mike McDonald to Seattle. Wish him all the best. It was fun to have him here. And there's going to be new changes to come. Roster's going to look different. Coaching staff's going to look a little bit different. But what's not going to look different is the fan base, man. We're all stay strong. Hold your heads high. And with that, let's put this all behind us in 2024. And let's fly.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.